Well, good morning. It is fantastic to be here in Hope Valley. So this is actually our first time for my wife and I in this area. And yesterday we actually dropped our kids off with some friends near Washington, D.C. They'll be at camp the following week. And so this is our first time as we have ventured south and west. I think both of us were almost overcome with tears in our eyes and joy as we ventured into this area. It's such a beautiful area that you guys live in. So thank you guys so much for having us here this morning. And first, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, from one dad to another. It's a pleasure to be fellowshipping with you guys this morning. So as Jared said, we have a long-term friendship that we've known Jared and Danielle from way back in our days in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it's a pleasure to be see them again. And it's a pleasure to have had them with us, him and Hannah, down there in January with us. You know, when people first arrive at our guest house, it's actually our former house where we used to live, they enter into an area and there is a lush garden full of birds of paradise flowers. It's banana trees. There's a couple lime trees in the backyard. But it is a virtual paradise as soon as you walk in the doors. And people are always overwhelmed and say, this place is amazing. And I'm here to say that it did not look like that when we first moved in. The garden, when we first get there, I mean, where we live in Guatemala, it's virtually 70 degrees year-round. And so, yes, it's beautiful weather, but as you can imagine with that, it's humid and it can also have plenty of rain. And so everything flourishes. The problem is, if you're not there to control it, it grows like wildfire. And so when we first moved into that house, there were trees growing where they shouldn't be. I think in the garden out front, there was like an 8-foot tree that we had to remove. And so quickly, we got to work. And it was, in no sense of the word, chaos. It took us about a good couple weeks of solid working, tending the garden, just to get it presentable again, so that people could come in and enjoy it, and so that we as a family could go there and enjoy it. And so the reason why I tell you that is because, you know, as we look at the Bible, from Genesis and beyond, it's a story of God bringing order out of chaos. The whole Genesis story, those first 6 days, is God bringing order out of chaos. No matter how you want to present it, without getting into theology and debating how long it took or how long this took, it's a sense of bringing darkness into light. It's a sense of bringing formation out of nothing. And so God did all those things, and he continues to do that. And no matter how we read the Bible, he's constantly doing that. We can look at the Exodus story. I can't imagine how the Jewish people felt, the Israelites felt, as they were sitting there in slavery. It had to be chaotic with the way that they lived. But God brought them out of that and restored order to their lives. And as we look at the New Testament, God continues to do the same thing. As he meets a bleeding woman, as he sees a blind man, as he sees a lame man at the well. Those are all stories in which God brings people that are experiencing chaos in their lives and restores order and brings peace. And so as we look at Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, these words struck me. And I think it sums up a lot of what our ministry focus is in Guatemala. And these are the words I want to share with you today. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know about you, but I know, you know, we've only been here for about a week and a half in the States. And one of the first things we notice is that it's go, 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 go. You got to go. You got someplace to be. I should have been there 5 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, right? But in this running, in this chaos that we're living in, Jesus offers these words. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, 12 years ago, my family and I can have my wife stand up real quick. I'm going to have you stand up just real quick and say hi. This is my lovely wife, Jamie. She's the much better half, if you have a chance to meet her. So she'll be back in the foyer with me after the service. But in saying this, I want to say, you know, 12 years ago, my family and I, we sent out from Raleigh, North Carolina, and we moved to Guatemala, Central America. And so we have our daughter, Olivia. She's now 15 years old. Our son, Kingston, is now 14 years old. They were 2 and 4 when we left. And, you know, our trip is, our journey there has been one in which when we first set out, we didn't know any Spanish whatsoever. And to see the pitfalls that we fell into as we learned the language. You know, we stumbled over words. I'm sure we were the butt of many Guatemalan jokes a lot of times as we stumbled over our words, and people were very pleasant and kind with us and patient. But it was one in which, you know, slowly we adapted and slowly we learned. But at that same time, we knew that we were where God wanted us to be. And we were resting in that peace. And so 6 years ago, our family, along with another Guatemalan family, we started a ministry called Transformando Vidas, which means transforming lives. And we say that our ministry is to redeem poor rural communities spiritually, socially, and economically to the glory of God. Now, Jared stood up here this morning and said that we are serving in the poorest of the poor communities. The areas in which we're serving receive very little government assistance. Many of them were without running water, without electricity, and without steady jobs. And so education is difficult. Obviously, finances are difficult. And to put it lightly, there are villages in which we could say there's chaos. Their lives are living in such a way that from one day to the next, is an unknown. Where is my next meal going to come from? Where is the next funds going to come from? What's the weather going to be like? Is my roof going to be, someone going to come and fix my roof? How am I going to pay for a leaky roof so that we don't get sick during the rainy season? And so, Nathan, if you want to show that first slide. So this is Tomas. And so when we first started working in our very first village named San Jose, we kind of many situations like this. We would go and do house-to-house visits, start building relationships with families, and we would see young kids and adults that you could just see malnourished, no energy. And how do you tell a boy like this, Jesus loves you, when he's sitting there in an empty stomach and his parents aren't able to provide for them? And so we believe that the gospel ultimately is something that gets verbally communicated, but we also believe that it's something that you do through acts of love. And so we began working in villages like San Jose, and eventually we began expanding into other villages that we began hearing about that were very similar to the one in which we're working in. And so, go ahead. So in that first village in San Jose, only about 50% of the kids were attending the local school. They only offered elementary school. And the reason for that was because their parents couldn't even afford the basic supplies to send them to school. Pencils, paper, scissors, crayons. Those things were considered luxuries. So one of the first things that we did as a ministry was to help look for student sponsors. And so for this $30, something that, you know, I know with inflation here, our prices have skyrocketed, right? I was just talking to a friend the other day, and they said, we used to spend $75 a week on groceries. Now we spend $150 just for the two of us. And so I know it's expensive. But those things, that little bit of money, that $30, that can sponsor a whole kid for a year's worth of school supplies. And so in just 1 year, we saw a school attendance go from 50% to 100% because all those kids had student sponsors. And so little by little, we began seeing progress. That community like in San Jose, we saw electricity come in. We came alongside local leaders. Illiteracy is super high. We'd help them write letters, solicit their local government, go through the chains of command. So they were able to install electricity. And with that brought job opportunities. With that, other people were able to help, began doing some different farming there. And so little by little, order was brought into an area of chaos. And so actually, these students right here, a year and a half ago, we also began the very first middle school and high school in this same village. And this coming fall, that village will have its very first graduates of high school coming out of it. And so this is what the gospel looks like physically. But more importantly is the relationships in which we've been able to build. In just a little bit, we can go to the next slide. Go to the next one, actually. There we go. Clemente is from San Jose. Clemente was a man, a single dad, raising three teenage kids in this village. Little to no work, scraping to make ends meet. And he came to us and said, I have an idea, a way in which I know I can raise money for my family. If I'm able to borrow just $50, I can buy fertilizer and seeds for chili peppers. And so we lent him $50 and said, here you go. And so what you see there is Clemente standing in front of his whole crop of chili peppers. For just $50, he's been able to put his teenage kids through school, been able to raise a steady income from his family. But most importantly, I tell you this. When we first met Clemente, like I said, his wife had left him with three teenage kids to raise. He'd been faithful. He'd been burned. He'd experienced hurt by others and felt distant from God. But as we began ministering to him, as we began to show you have value, and we love you, and God loves you. And so we began ministering to him, speaking words of encouragement, praying with him regularly, walking through the word with him. He rededicated his life to Christ and is now a local leader, as well as planted his own church in the community. And so just doing those simple investments, taking $50, in which he eventually even paid us back, we're able to change lives little by little, bringing order out of chaos, right? And so we can go back to the last slide. So during the pandemic, our entire ministry had to shift focus. Just like things changed here, things changed in Guatemala as well. There were strict curfews put in place. People weren't able to move freely from one town to another. And also people were just starting to, they weren't able to have, use the buses either because they couldn't sit in a close confined area. So public transportation stopped. Well, as a result, shortly, I think, would you say 2 weeks, Jamie? 2 weeks probably after the pandemic started in Guatemala and the curfew started and those public buses stopped running, we began seeing white flags hanging outside of people's houses. And now we know that the white flag is a flag of surrender, right? What essentially those families were saying by hanging the white flags is, we don't have any more food, and we don't know where it's coming from. Could someone please help us? And so even in our own community where we live, we began seeing white flags. So as a ministry, we continued serving in San Jose, but we also began serving other communities as well through the distribution of food. And so we began traveling to other villages as well, places that we'd heard about that were much like San Jose and needed help. And so we began going up in an area called Santa Rosa. I know Jared will know this community well. It's way up in the mountains, 2.5 hours from where we live. And during the rainy season, you need chains on your trucks. It gets muddy. You have to put the pickup in 4x4 and begin going up into the mountains. And the people that we met there, were extremely grateful when we started handing out 2 weeks of supplies worth of food to them. And their first words were, "No one else is helping us." And we told them, "God sees you. God has heard your prayers and has sent help." And so we began distributing food there, and people began coming from all different parts, gathering. And before every single food distribution, my partner and I would give a sermon and give a talk. And these people were gripped by the Word of God. And over the next few weeks and months, as we began doing the food distributions in this community, you could just see life come into their faces. People that were once hopeless and didn't know where their next meal was coming from were now flagging us down, offering us food, giving us live chickens, and saying, "Thank you so much." But the number one thing that we heard was that, "Thank you, the food is great. But what we've come to realize as a result of your visits is that we have a greater need in us. We need the Word of God. We need Jesus in our lives." And so that's how we began working in this village of Santa Rosa. There's about 6 villages up there. And I remember Jared was there with Hannah, and they began walking through these long paths. And just to get to these remote houses, and we could sit there and share the gospel with them. And they would receive us so warmly. We've done water projects. We've helped install water to places that had to walk miles to get fresh water daily. We've done numerous new kitchens. We've installed bathrooms. But what you see here in this picture is when we started begin doing house-to-house visits, the number one need that we saw was that roofs were collapsing. They didn't have a dry place to sleep. And so we thought, how in the world can we begin building house by house? We couldn't. It would take us forever. There's 110 families living in this area. And what you see here is over a period of time, we were able to raise enough support and enough funds to provide new roofs for 110 families. And so this is the big, huge roof distribution for the Santa Rosa area. Everyone in that village got a brand new roof, which means a dry place to sleep and no more colds and illnesses during the rainy season. And what we did here is we had a distribution from all this different sheet laminate. And before that, we spoke about who is our ultimate refuge. Who provides shelter for us? In these words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God is that refuge. God is that shelter. He's the one that we can come to. And we had over 20 people accept the Lord Jesus Christ that day as a result of this distribution. So, can we go to the next? I think we have another slide after that, after Clemente. So, is there another picture? There we go. So, as a result of having these families impacted, as a result of them hearing the word, as a result of them seeing God's love for them in a physical way, in an experiential way, we've had many new believers. And so this is a picture in San Jose. We've planted a church there, and that church has now grown to 40 people in a village of 500 people. And so, give a picture up here. This is our year-end celebration. You guys can see it's old, it's young, and this is in an area which was once chaos and is now brought to order. People are experiencing God's love in new and profound ways. So, I do want to share this with you. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, it says, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I think oftentimes, you know, as we go, and I know our family, when we first hit the mission field, we got focused on the go, therefore, and make disciples. Right? Whenever we walk into a building, and even I think even in our own home church, I remember seeing the words go, therefore, dot, dot, dot. Right? And so, but we leave out those other parts, and we see baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so I want to say this to you today. It isn't just about going. It's about teaching as well. And so as a ministry, our heart and our focus isn't just to transform a community physically. It's to transform one spiritually, to partner with God in such a way that those people that we've pouring our lives into are then going forth and teaching the people in their villages to do the same. Because that is what matters. That's the most important thing, is to teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded, to teach them to live out the gospel, to teach them to be disciples themselves who make disciples. Because just as we've been called as a family, they too are called to be witnesses in their own community. And that goes for us too, here sitting in these seats today. We are called to be ambassadors, to be missionaries where we live, work, and play. And so, as we drove into this town, as we drove into Christiansburg last night and saw the beautiful scenery, we also know that there's many people probably in this village, in this town, that are not walking with God. And so our prayer as a family today is that you all here at Hope Valley would be the missionaries in this community. And then I think I have one more picture. And then in our last community, that we also got to know through the pandemic, and we've continued working there, is a village called El Brillante. Actually, can you go back? There's one with a boy and a little girl. There we go. So this picture right here is in our newest community. It's a town called El Brillante. And this teenage boy, his name is Rogelio. Rogelio's dad is named Marcos. And Marcos was an alcoholic. He lived in Guatemala City, had a well-paying job, was making good money, sending it back to his family. But his addiction got the best of him. And slowly he began wasting and squandering his money away so that he couldn't have anything to send, and ended up being homeless, living on the streets of Guatemala City, caught in addiction. Finally, like the story in The Prodigal Son, it says he came to his senses, right? Marcos came to his senses and moved back with his family here into this small rural village named El Brillante, where his kids and his wife were living. And for the last 5 years, Marcos has been clean and sober. And he doesn't have nearly as good a job as he used to. He's been fighting to make ends meet. And so him and his wife began praying. They've been crying out to God, saying, God, would you please send somebody to fix our roof? Would you please send somebody to give us a new home? Would you please send someone to help my kids, Rogelio, and their siblings? And so my partner, Helbert, our Guatemalan partner, was walking around one day, and he was assessing some of the houses that we had potentially lined up and we thought might need some assistance. We had a group of men come down from the United States, actually from Benson, North Carolina. And their whole mission that week was to serve others physically through construction and then share the word of God with them. Well, somehow, as Helbert walked by their house, without really assessing anything, he just knew that this was the area that he was supposed to go. And so we had committed to placing a new roof on Rogelio's and Marcos's house. And so the men showed up from Benson, North Carolina. We began putting this new roof on, and Marcos was standing there side by side, Helbert and the men from Benson, North Carolina, putting on their new roof. And he began talking to my partner, Helbert, and sharing his long testimony and how he'd ended up back and his struggles with addiction in the past. And then he shared how he'd been praying for someone to come and fix his roof. And Helbert said, "Gentlemen, keep working. I just need to talk to this man." And at that moment, Helbert was able to sit down with Marcos and share with him, that God that you've been praying to, he's answered your prayers. He's shown up. And he's alive and active and breathing. And it doesn't matter if you're living in Guatemala, United States, India, no matter where in the world, he's a God who hears. He's a God who hears. And so we placed that roof on, and Marcos dedicated his life to Jesus Christ that day. Amen. Why? Because he was shown an act of love, and it was an answer to a prayer. And it was just people being faithful by going on mission and just showing up however they could. And so as you guys are traveling out, as I know you guys are taking off, some of you are taking off from Uganda on Monday, that's the first step, is just showing up. And you don't know the prayers that are being prayed on the other side and how you will answer them. But just going and being willing to make disciples and teaching others about the love of God, it starts there. And so that's just one story. I think Nathan, no, we can go to that last one. And then as well, this is the other house that we built in El Briante. So you can tell it from this one. But the man in the window, he is blind. His brother there in the red shirt, named Juan, he walks with a limp. He can't work. And then his parents, as you can see, are elderly. The conditions in which they're living was much like the picture that you saw in Tomas in the very first picture I showed you. And they, too, have been praying because they don't have the resources, the blind son, or the paralyzed, not paralyzed, but the lame son is unable to work and provide. And so with elderly parents, they've been wondering, how in the world are we going to change the conditions in which we live? So just being able to help these families out by giving them a simple and tangible expression of God's love is able to show them who Jesus is, and then allows us to sit down and explain the gospel. And so this family, as you can see, is overjoyed, over-elated, but they too have accepted Jesus as a result. And so I do want to share this last thing with you. You know, when Jared came down, I don't think him or Josh's brother knew too much about the history of Antigua, where our family lives in Guatemala. Antigua is the former capital of the Spanish Empire. So they ruled all of Mexico, all the way down to Nicaragua, through that area. It served as their headquarters. And so, you know, as colonists coming over from Spain, they were essentially ambassadors to the new world for them. You know, as we get going and as we move throughout the world, as believers, we're called to be ambassadors as well. But now that Antigua, that used to be the former capitalist empire and have colonists living in it, now it's a place for tourists. It's one of the leading places in Guatemala for tourism. And we have people come from all over the world just to come and visit our small little tiny city. And when they're there, of course, they want to take in the local flair. They want to see the sights. They want to eat the local foods. They want to do as the locals do. But that's not how a colonist lives, right? And so when my family and I, of course, when you guys travel, you guys walk through the airport with one of these. And it's stamped and it says United States of America. And so as you guys travel, whether it be on vacation or you guys go on a missions trip, you guys carry one of these with you to identify who you are and where you're from. But I'm here to tell you guys today that if you carry one of these, but you're sitting in these pews and you're traveling the world with the idea of going on a missions trip, this does not say where you belong. You are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so all these people come to our tiny city looking to experience the city as tourists. But I'm here to tell you today that if that's how you are walking through this world, then you are sorely mistaken. We are called to be colonists. And what do colonists do? They are representatives of a king or queen, empire, and their whole job is to show others how to live under the authority of that king or queen. Under that authority. And so if you join me in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20, I want to leave you with this. Paul says to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, we are ambassadors. We are colonists. What it says on your passport means nothing. Our first allegiance is under the authority and jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. You've been made a new creation, which means you've become citizens to a new kingdom. And you, sitting in these pews today, are to be ambassadors, not walking through the world as tourists, looking to consume and live as the others do. You are called, and the King has given you a specific assignment. And as we read in that Great Commission earlier, go and make disciples. Be my ambassadors. Show others what the kingdom of God looks like. And how is it done? Through our words and through our actions. And so my prayer for you guys today is that as we leave this place, that we would take that ownership of being a colonist for the kingdom of God, stepping out into the world, sticking out into areas in which there is much chaos, and showing God wants to bring order. God wants to bring peace in your life. And so, be a colonist. Amen. All right, so can I pray for us as we finish up? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to open your word today. Lord, to being able to share what you're doing in Guatemala through Transformando Vidas. Father, we love you. We thank you. And I pray, Lord, for everyone sitting in these pews today, in these seats, those that call themselves followers of you, that they would remember, Lord, that they are to be your witnesses, that they are to be colonists, and that they are to show others what it's like to live and to participate in your kingdom, under your rule, under your jurisdiction, and no matter what life is bringing, that they would experience your rest, because you are a shelter and a refuge. Lord, empower us by your Holy Spirit to love others well, and most importantly, Lord, to love you well. It's in your name we pray. Amen.